CD 10.
It was a terrible thing to see guile on the face of Mr. Groat. The old man tapped the side of his nose. "You're the man that got money out of a bunch of goods, sir," he said, grinning happily. "Yes," said Moist desperately, "but supposing I just did that with a trick." "Damn good trick, sir," the old man cackled. "Damn good. A man who could trick money out of the gods would be capable of anything, I should think." "Mr. Groat, there is no way a coach can get to Genua faster than a clax message. It's 2,000 miles. "Yes, I realise you've got to say that, sir. Walls have ears, sir. Mum's the word. But we all had a little talk, and we reckoned you'd been very good to us, sir. You really believe in the post office, sir, so we thought it's time to put our money in our mouth, sir," said Groat, and now there was a touch of defiance. Moist gaped once or twice. "You mean where your mouth is? You're the man who knows a trick or three, sir. The way you just went into the newspaper office and said, 'We'll race you,' reach a guilt walk right into your trap, sir."
Glass into diamond, thought Moist. He sighed. "All right, Mr. Groat, thank you. 8-1 on, eh?"
"We were lucky to get it, sir. They went up to 10-1, and then they closed the books. All they're accepting now is bets on how you'll win, sir."
Moist perked up a little. "Any good ideas?" he asked.
"I've got a $1 flutter on by dropping fire from the sky, sir." You wouldn't like to give me in, perhaps?"
"Please go and get on with your work, Mr. Groat," said Moist severely.
"Yes, sir, of course, sir. Sorry I asked, sir," said Groat, and crabbed off.
Moist put his head in his hands. "I wonder if it's like this for mountain climbers," he thought. "You climb bigger and bigger mountains, and you know that one day one of them is going to be just that bit too steep. But you go on doing it because it's so good when you breathe the air up there, and you know you'll die falling." How could people be so stupid? They seemed to cling to ignorance because it smelled familiar. Reacher Guilt sighed. He had an office in the Tump Tower. He didn't like it much, because the whole place shook to the movement of the semaphore, but it was necessary for the look of the thing. It did have an unrivalled view of the city, though, and the site alone was worth what they'd paid for the trunk.
"It takes the best part of 2 months to get to Genua by coach," he said, staring across the rooftops of the palace. "He might be able to shave something off that, I suppose. The clax takes a few hours. What is there about this that frightens you?"
"So what's his game?" said Greenyham.
The rest of the board sat around the table, looking worried.
"I don't know," said Guilt. "I don't care."
"But the gods are on his side, Reacher," said Nutmeg.
"Let's talk about that, shall we?" said Guilt. "Does that claim strike anyone else as odd? The gods are not generally known for no-frills gifts, are they? Especially not ones you can bite. No, these days they restrict themselves to things like grace, patience, fortitude, and inner strength. Things you can't see. Things that have no value. Gods tend to be interested in profits, not profits."
There were some blank looks from those fellow directors.
"Didn't quite get that one, old chap," said Stoley.
"Profits," I said. "Not profits," said Guilt.
He waved a hand.
"Don't worry yourselves. It'll look better written down. In short, Mr. Litvig's gift from above was a big chest of coins, some of them in what looked remarkably like bank sacks, and all in modern denominations. You don't find this strange?"
"Yes, but even the high priests say he..."
"Litvig is a showman," snapped Guilt. "Do you think the gods will carry his mail coach for him, do you? This is a stunt, do you understand? He got him on page one again, that's all. This is not hard to follow. He has no plan other than to fail heroically. No one expects him actually to win, do they?"
"I heard that people are betting heavily on him."
"People enjoy the experience of being fooled if it promises a certain amount of entertainment," said Guilt. "Do you know a good bookmaker? I shall have a little flatter. $5,000, perhaps."
This got some nervous laughter, and he followed it up.
"Gentlemen, be sensible. No gods will come to the aid of our postmaster. No wizard either. They're not generous with magic, and we'll soon find if he uses any. No, he's looking for the publicity, that's all. Which is not to say," he winked, "that we shouldn't, how shall I put it, make certainty doubly sure."
They perked up still more. This sounded like the kind of thing they wanted to hear.
"After all, accidents can happen in the mountains," said Greenham.
"I believe that is the case," said Guilt. "However, I was referring to the Grand Trunk. Therefore, I have asked Mr. Pony to outline our procedure. Mr. Pony."
The engineer shifted uneasily.